Now, another of Great Britain's Olympic squads was announced this week. Tom Daley leading the 11-strong team of divers to go to Rio. One man who knows all about competing in the Olympic Games is Blake Aldridge, who partnered the 14-year-old Daley in Beijing back in 2008, but has since swapped the swimming pool for something slightly more unpredictable. It's cliff diving, dramatic, certainly. Former world champion Aldridge is a member of the Crystal Palace Diving Club as well. Earlier today, he's competed in Copenhagen in the second round of the Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series, a 27-metre dive off the roof of the city's historic Opera House. And I'm delighted to say he's all right, and he joins us on the line now. Blake, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you after that 27-metre dive off the Opera House?
Yeah, I mean, today wasn't my best performance, to be fair, but pleased to say that a fellow Brit, Gary Hunt, won the overall competition. So I had a little bit of a nightmare carrying a bit of a groin injury after training, but Gary went on and won it. So if it wasn't me, I'd only have ever want anybody else to be in, you know.
Disappointment for yourself, but still you can sort of play a little bit of part of the celebrations, I suppose, today.
Exactly. I mean, Britain are doing great in sport at the moment, and as long as we keep doing good in what we're doing in terms of diving and high diving, you know, it's good for the sport in general.
Now, people may well have seen, the sport of cliff diving has received more attention. It's been watchable on television over the last couple of years as well. It certainly is a dramatic form of the sport as well. And I'm assuming it's a growing form of the sport.
Yeah, I think FINA have picked it up now. You know, people are starting to realise that that it does take just as much training and just as much dedication as it does to be in the Olympic Games, doing the Olympic diving from a 10-metre board. And, I mean, again, that's great for me and Gary.
Yeah.
And great for me being a previous Olympian from the 10-metre board and transitioning into this and having the chance that maybe one day this will go into the Olympic Games as well.
We've been talking climbing, and we will hear from a top-level competitor before the end of the programme when it comes to climbing that's hoping to be part of 2020. What would it take for your discipline of diving to be part and put into that diving, the diving element of the Olympic Games, do you think?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm aware at the moment, FINA have taken it on board purely because they recognise that it does take a lot of hard training and mental ability and physical ability to be able to do what we're doing. And I think it's been taken on by FINA because they want it to become an Olympic sport, and it draws massive crowds because it's an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it live and you actually really... I always say you never really get the understanding of what it's really like until you see it live. You know, you really hear the noise that we hit the water with and the speed and the time that we're flying in the air.
Yeah.
And the dives that we're doing are the same sort of dives that we're doing from 10 metre plus another twist or plus another somersault. So it's not really that different to the Olympic diving, other than the fact that the impact's so hard we have to land on our feet.
Absolutely. As far as being a competitor, what's the biggest challenge that you faced, or someone who is going to make that transition from 10-metre pool diving into cliff diving? What's the biggest change that you have to make in your training, in your preparation?
I mean, there's a million changes that you have to face. I mean, fear being probably the biggest one. The fact that you spend your whole life going headfirst from a 10-metre board and then you've got to adapt to landing feet first from nearly three times the height, you know, that was the hardest thing for me to get to grips with. And just the impact, you know, the mental side of it is really difficult transitioning from Olympic diving into the high diving, because with the Olympic diving, you've done the numbers. You've been up there day in, day out training.
Mm.
You're not able physically to be able to do them numbers from 27 or 28 metres.
No.
So you really have to become a master at lying to yourself and convincing your mind that you've been up there a million times and everything's going to be fine. And also being able to face that fear of looking down and going, wow, I'm 27, 28 metres up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be all right. You know, it's going against every sort of special feeling that the body feels and taking a leap of faith.
How can you train then? I mean, you know, how can you train for the big dives? You can obviously do your training. You can do your physique training. You can do your, you know, you can even do some of the, you know, the training as far as making sure that you can put a twist in there, or you can put a some whatever. But how can you train for those big heights? I mean, there's just not the facility, is there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question that we get asked a lot of the time. And basically, I mean, you break the dive down from the takeoff, the flight, and the entry. Unfortunately, at the moment, there's no real training facilities from 27 or 28 metres to put it all together.
No.
So that, at the moment, is what makes the sport so frightening and so scary and so raw, is that you can train day in, day out from a 10-metre platform, but really, the only time that you really get to practice the whole dive and perfect the whole dive is when you get on location at an event somewhere where there's a platform. So it's very much a tough mental game to master.
No, I bet a lot of it is in the head. You have to have faith in your physicality, but also just that the fear factor must be a huge one. But I can imagine, because it is so dramatic, you as competitors putting yourselves on the line draws the crowds. That's why the crowds get drawn into it. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but people are amazed by the feats that you pull off.
Yeah, and I think, like, nobody wants to watch something and watch somebody hurt themselves, but
no,
it draws in so many crowds because people see how high up you are, and they, I mean, you've got to be stupid to look at somebody up there and go, oh, there's no danger, you know. So, I mean, and also for us as divers, it's every feeling that you go through is magnified compared to the 10 metre. You're three times as high. There's a lot more risk. There's a lot more danger. But you're so much more switched on. You know, I learned more in my first year of cliff diving than what I learned in 20 odd years of pool diving for the Olympic Games.
Does it bring you together as a... Sorry. Blake.
Yeah, no, just purely because of how you have to be mentally tuned in to what you're doing. There is no, you can't get complacent. You can't take the height for granted or what you're doing for granted. Whereas with the 10 meter, you can, because you've done it over and over. You train it every day. You know, that's what's, although they're so similar, they're so far apart in so many ways.
But as a group, I mean, you say obviously you're delighted that your teammate wins if you can't win, but as a group, does it draw you closer together because of that element of the increased danger? As a you appreciate each other's risk factors?
I think the beautiful thing about it is that we all travel around the world together. We're all on tour with each other, and you know, we sit down, we eat lunch, dinner, breakfast, and we all respect what everybody else is going through, because we're going through it ourselves. And the last thing that you want to see is somebody hurt themselves.
Sure.
And that really bears for, I mean, it's still extremely competitive.
Yeah.
But that just makes it a really nice environment. You know, if somebody hurts themselves, everybody's there to lend a hand, to ask if they're okay and how can we help. You know, I never had that in the Olympic dive, and it was very dog eat dog.
Right.
Yeah, it's still extremely competitive, you know, and that's the funny difference between the two. And it's a really nice environment to work with, you know, that every guy on tour is respectful of every other person that's doing what they're doing, and that is purely because, you know, you go through absolute mayhem on the platform. You go through so much turmoil. And everybody knows that. I know we hide it pretty well, I'm sure. But I can tell you for a fact that everybody is pretty scared and worried and nervous, you know. But
wow, no,
but
I can
we get
imagine.
Out there and we do what we do.
I can imagine. I mean, as you say, it's not part of the Olympic program at the moment, but it may be as being pushed forward into the future as a diving discipline. Just keeping an eye on the sport in terms of what will be taking place in Rio. Britain, can we expect some sort of success off the boards?
I mean, I think an Olympic Games has become such an amazing event purely because it's a it's one day every 4 years, and I think in terms of British diving at the moment, we've got a really strong team.
Yeah.
You know, if everything goes our way, there's a possibility of probably 3 or 4 medals. You know, whether that happens is a totally different thing. But, you know, 18 years ago, let's not forget, that was when they started pumping money into the sport.
Yeah.
And it's taken that long to be where we are now. And that's something that really needs to be understood and respected, is that Rome wasn't built in a day. And it's taken 18 years for Britain to be in a positive situation where we can go in and expect medals rather than wanting medals.
Yeah.
And I hope for all of the guys that I know that are on the team and even the youngsters that I've never met, I hope that they all go there and I hope they have a fantastic Olympics and we come home with a few medals.
And what's the challenge? You know, as you say, you're now competing on a different circuit, on the cliff diving, the world cliff diving circuit. When it comes to an Olympic Games, how much of that is in the head as well? Because you can do your reps off the board, you can be as in physically great shape as you possibly can, although most athletes always tell me that they're never 100%, there's always a niggle somewhere, shape or form. Mm-hmm. But you can be as best prepared as you possibly can. But psychologically, what does the fact that it's the Olympic Games, is that you have to cope with that as well when you stood on that board?
Yeah, massively. I mean, as I said earlier, it's one day that you've prepared for over 4 years.
Yeah.
And maybe 8 years, maybe 12 years, like I was. I mean, I tried to get there and I just missed out, and then I tried to get there again and just missed out. So it was 12 years cycle for me to get there on the day.
Yeah.
And try and perform. So of course that plays a part, and there's so much hype and energy and media around it. You know, of course it can play a part, but I think it's something that you have to deal with, and I think that's why at Olympic Games you see a lot of people make fantastic results that probably haven't made a continuous fantastic results throughout the 4 years that you've been preparing. It's just people that deal with it in different ways, and somebody that's put on a pedestal, you know, sometimes they might they might find that hurts them in terms of expectation and pressure. Mm. You know, expectation is a totally different pressure to just the pressure of going in there and trying to win.
Yeah.
And I think my advice to everybody would be to just go there and embrace it and enjoy it and have fun.
So, I mean, you know, when you talk about being put on a pedestal, being made a sort of a poster boy of the sport, I mean, that's what Tom's had, isn't it? That's what he's had to cope with, I suppose, above and beyond the sporting side of things.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, it's amazing the way that he's dealt with things. You know, I've not been in Tom's competitive atmosphere for many years now, but whatever he's been doing, you know, he's doing fantastic. I said to him at a competition for a year or two ago, when he got third, and David Bedier comes second, and Bo won, and I said to him, like, since he's been training with Jane, he looked really strong.
Yeah,
you know, he was making his dives really easy. He's always had really good hands hitting the water. He's always had a really good entry, but he just looks strong and confident and not nervous up there. And I mentioned that to him, and hopefully, you know, he can continue with all of the results that he's been having, and he can get up there and really really lay the law down.
What about you? What's next? Having finished up in Copenhagen, where are you off to next?
We're off to Azores in a couple of weeks. I've had an absolute nightmare of an event here. I had a fantastic start to the tour in Texas, coming second, and then I felt everything felt right in Texas. Everything felt, you know, like I couldn't wait to get on the platform and dive. And I suppose we had a training camp just after Texas, and then we've come here. And I suppose in a way, it's like I haven't had a chance to get down and back up again, because it's just been dive. And the weather was pretty tough here, but as I said, Gary won. You know, it's the same for all of us, so no excuses there. But the next one will be in Azores, and I'll go home tomorrow, back to the drawing board, try and get the head back in gear. And I've had a few events in Azores, so as it was in Texas. I'd never had a good event, and then I went there in the first event and come second. So I'm quite confident I'll have a good event in the Azores. I like to be on the back foot going into an event, and rather than the front. And I was on the front foot coming here after such a great result in Texas. So we'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully me and Gary can be fighting for a 1-2 on the podium again.
That'd be great. Blake, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Best of luck. Yeah, commiserations for today, but best of luck in a couple of weeks in the Azores. That's Blake Aldridge, now a cliff diver, but formerly an Olympic high board diver, 10-metre diver, three times that height. It is really spectacular if you've never seen it.